producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Wow, what a wild weekend it was in Ferguson, Missouri, that's for sure. Plus, the quicksands of the Middle East. It continues to get wackier in Iraq, so much so that, guess what, the Prez took a break from his vacation for some meetings at the White House. And that's where we start, kicking off in the direction of Ferguson, Missouri. What to do, what to do. And when I say that, I mean, here's what the scoop is now at this point. So since we last met, you know, the officer's name was released, and having the name of the officer released, including some of the media putting directions to his house in the various stories that they wrote. So, it didn't take a genius to figure out where that was. There are more problems in the small town, and there's more debate over what happened. They say Michael Brown was shot at least six times. That's according to the family attorney for the Browns, Daryl Parks. The police department itself is being questioned about several things that they released relating to the shooting. There was an independent autopsy that was conducted by a pretty well-known pathologist, Michael Baden. Now, Baden testified in the O.J. Simpson trial, also Phil Spector and Drew Peterson murder trials, pretty well-known in that area. And then that's when the family attorney, you know, came out and said, okay, boom, this is the deal, and this just happened not too long ago. Hey, he was shot six times. That's it. That's what this autopsy is showing us. Now, it's interesting because there are a lot of different reports that are significant to this 18-year-old being shot, and now what has led to a lot of chaos in Ferguson. So you had shots. So while this autopsy is going on, you also have shots that were fired at police. The officers are like crouching. They were crouching behind a bunch of cars. I cannot believe some of the things that I'm seeing right now, what's happening. Right now, I am on the air. Picture this. You have tear gas all over the place. You can see television live trucks everywhere you look. And it looks like we're looking at a war zone, frankly. If you had no idea what you were looking at, that's exactly what you would think. You'd say, my God, is this what's happening in the streets of Baghdad? If you didn't recognize a few little signs that would tell you, oh, that's the United States. That's how bad it's gotten in Ferguson. Protesters throwing Molotov cocktails, shots, all that kind of stuff, while the autopsy and the results are being released. The New York Times, reporting on that independent autopsy done by Michael Baden, said that two of the bullets hit Brown in the head, the other four hit him in the right arm. All six were fired into the front of him. So Sunday night, what was a peaceful protest then erupted into this gunfire that I'm talking about right now, and the Molotov cocktails and the tear gas. Hundreds of protesters, including some kids, and that's the sad part, marching toward one of the command posts, and this midnight curfew is game on. I mean, we're almost at that midnight curfew, depending on where your watch is set. Rubber bullets flying around, hitting at least one or two of the people that were protesting. So this violence has now just escalated once again. And this is what's happened since the information has been released about the man who shot, the cop who shot Michael Brown, and also this autopsy report describing how he was killed. How he was killed. And they tried to do stuff earlier in the day. Like, they had these rallies. They were pretty peaceful. There's a big church there called Greater Grace Church, and you had Benjamin Crump, who finds his way into these kinds of situations, but he was there. He didn't actually even really talk to the audience. Instead, you had Missouri State Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson, who grew up in that area, who talked to more than 1,300 people who were there, said he had a heavy heart, said the past 24 hours have been terrible for him, really, really, really tough for him. He said, you know, he took over security on Thursday after what was being perceived to be overly aggressive police response. So then he takes over, but still you have these problems. You have violent protests on Saturday, violent protests on Sunday, curfews. You had one guy who was shot overnight on Saturday. You know, how old, who he was, who shot him, critical condition. So this is part of why I believe the president is back from vacation and they're trying to figure out what to do. Now, Eric Holder approved another autopsy on Michael Brown's body. That's going to be conducted by a federal medical examiner. So there's a lot of tug of war and controversy about the autopsy because how many times was he shot? Where was he shot? What were the police describing as to what happened to Michael Brown? So this is why. Because how did this start? We roll back to last Saturday. And two people walking in the middle of the street. The two people, one of them was Michael Brown, supposedly going to his grandmother's house. Then the officer, depending on what report you believe or witness you believe, then the officer supposedly telling him to get the blank, get the F blank on the sidewalk walk or get the F out of the street. I mean, you know, really. And then they said, supposedly yelled out that they were close to where they were going. And then, before you knew it, what happened is the officer supposedly drove away, stopped, backed up, almost hit them. And so why did he return? What happened? Then yelled out, what did you say? And then the next thing you know, you've got what ensues after that, you know, the door being opened, bullets being shot, and then a lot of disagreement as to whether a shot was fired, which it looks like a shot was fired inside the police car, and then what happened inside the car, and the explanations are kind of all over the map. And this, the story doesn't really jive with the three different eyewitness accounts. So then this started more problems. Was he armed? And again, it's been said over and over again, no, he was not armed. Was he involved in something that happened before that, 6 days before the shooting? Ferguson police say that he was the primary suspect in a robbery of a convenience store. So lots of confusion, a lot of questions, and sadly, it does not look like you're looking at some place in the United States. It looks like you are looking at a scene from Iraq, from downtown Baghdad, when things go crazy. Wow. All right, Middle East. Some thoughts on what's happening in the Middle East, the Gaza Strip and Israel. They continue to try to work on this ceasefire. We've got our weekly re-rack with Rabbi Spiro. He doesn't lack for strong opinions. And that's coming up next here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-463-7479. That's 1-800-463-7479. 1-800-463-7479.
America tonight in our virtual green room. Rabbi Ari Spiro is with us. You loved him last time. He is the author of Pushback, Reclaiming Our American Judeo-Christian Ethos. And, you know, Rabbi, it's interesting when you look at what's happening. And, of course, the latest things, I'm going to kind of jump around. I call it the quicksand in the Middle East. The latest thing that's happening and we're seeing in Iraq is so many Christians fleeing as fast as they can to get away from ISIS and some of the horrible things that are happening there. As you watch that unfold, and you know you have the Sunnis and the Shiites and, of course, the Kurds, and melting that all together and the way that we went about that, if you go back to the beginnings of Iraq and now what's happened, as you look at this incredible chaos and crisis, you're not surprised by this, are you?
No, because we know that for the last 10, 15 years, different Muslim groups have been killing Christians all throughout Africa. They did it in Sudan. They did it in Nigeria. Even in Egypt, they were murdering the Coptics and raping the women. So this is something that's been going on, except it has not been reported by the mainstream media, because the mainstream media never wants Islam to look guilty or bad. We also don't know about it because the President of the United States for 6 years has remained silent while one Islamic group after another has slaughtered Christians across Africa and parts of Asia and parts of the Middle East. He said nothing, nothing. If the Israelis build an apartment in Jerusalem so people can have a family, we hear from him with such vitriol and condemnation, but we don't hear anything from him deploring the massacres of the Muslim extremists, radicals, whatever you want to call them, ISIS, Boko Haram, Shiites, Muslim Brotherhood, Hezbollah, Hamas, you hear nothing about it from him. So I'm not surprised because this has been going on. And we also haven't heard, unfortunately, throughout these years from the church. The Catholic Church has been too quiet. Too quiet. I've heard from people in Africa, black people who are Catholics, and they feel left down, really let down by the church that has not raised in the last 10 years any type of real call against what's happening. That's one thing. And the second thing I want to say is like this, Katie. Now we know why Israel has to do what it has to do. Because it doesn't make a difference if it's ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, they're all the same. And if Israel wouldn't protect itself, they would find itself being slaughtered, millions of them, by Hamas and Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, and why do you think there's an uprising somewhat? I don't think it's as, I don't know, I don't think it's as vast as many people say, but but you do hear. Why is there this, you know, this reach to punch Israel in the gut and criticize Netanyahu when he's doing exactly what you said, protecting the country, doing what they have to do because they can't rely on anybody else, let's face it.
Three reasons. Number one, people do not want to admit, leaders do not want to admit that there's a big problem from large segments of the Islamic community who have in their charter the obligation to kill, murder Jews, Christians, infidels, Hindus. That's what they want to do. World leaders don't want to recognize it because if they do, they have to do something about it. They don't have the stomach to do it. So what they do is they condemn those people like Israel that try to defend against it. Second thing, you've got a left-wing media. The left-wing media hates America, hated every war America was in, and so they hate Israel. Those who hate America hate Israel, and those who hate Israel hate America because they're outposts of democracy, the Judeo-Christian ethos, the Bible. And so the left has been against every war America has undertaken, so they're against the wars of Israel. Have it in all throughout Europe because Europe has become Muslim. What, 20% in some places? And then you've got the lefties that are anti-Jewish and some of the old righties. So anti-Semitism, leftism, and the inability, the unwillingness to face the reality of the charge of Islam marching forward to destroy Western civilization.
Yeah. Rabbi, when you look at the president, you talk about the policy and the president being silent and whatnot, and no matter what Muslim group it is, and you think of the Arab Spring, what happened to the so-called celebrated Arab Spring and how all this was coming together? It was a big flop, right?
Oh, it never was an Arab Spring. I called it an Arab Winter right away. I was, in those days, I was the Israel man, the Middle East man for the Washington Times, their radio, and then later for the American Morning News when everybody was celebrating, because everybody wanted to hope so badly that in the Arab world there's this yearning for democracy in Jefferson and Adam and Washington and the Gettysburg Address. Everybody was yearning. I knew it wasn't so. And I knew that it would end up where the Muslim Brotherhood would co-opt and would take away some of the good yearnings in the Arab world. They would co-opt that and they would get in charge and they would become in charge. And that's what President Obama wanted all the while. He wanted Mubarak out. Mubarak was too Western and he wanted the Muslim Brotherhood to come in. He didn't want Gaddafi. Gaddafi, for most of his life, was a bad guy, but towards the end, he saw the light and said, you know, I better be on the side of the West, and Obama didn't want him either. So I always knew that the Arab Spring would be an Arab Winter, and I always knew that President Obama did not want Western-style real freedom in Egypt. He wanted the Muslim Brotherhood, just like in this war. He's backing Hamas, which is the Muslim Brotherhood against the democracy, Israel. Barack Obama is a radical man, Katie. He's, and anyway, he's not a liberal. He's a Marxist. He's not just a Muslim sympathizer. He seems to sympathize. He chooses leaders in the Muslim Brotherhood. And he's not some civil rights, black civil rights leader. He's someone who's a fan of Malcolm X. He's a very radical guy. I don't care how many Armani suits he has and how much ice cream and basketball he plays.
So he just toned it down and his handlers did to get him elected?
He's very adept at this. He's very adept at making people think that he is whatever they hope he is to be. Hope and change. Hope and change. He knew he could do that. He would have every American think that Barack Obama represented the hope that that particular American wanted, except me. I didn't put any hope in him because I'm a conservative, I'm a patriot, I love my country, and I love the Constitution, and I'm a fan of Israel. But the other people, also listen, a lot of people were caught up in the whole thing of being involved in the historic moment of voting for the first black president. But I don't think people should vote for people based on the historical new chapter it creates. You vote for someone who will defend your country, improve the economy, protect your children, and you vote for someone who loves the country. This is 6 years later. I can't say that Barack Obama loves the country. I heard someone say something the other day that was very smart, very right. She said, you know, you can see that Netanyahu loves his people. He's fighting for them. He's taking world criticism. They're punching him and punching him, but he loves his people. He's going to protect them. I don't know that Barack Obama loves the American people. I don't know how much he wants to protect us. I really don't. When there's Islamic violence here in the country, like at Fort Hood, when they killed all those people and they were yelling Allah Akbar, what did he say? It's workplace violence. And so he puts it all like to the side, nothing to worry about. Well, you know, if you protect someone, you want to protect someone because you love them, you don't shove it to the side and call it workplace violence. You make sure it never happens again.
Yeah, boy, I so agree with that. What do you make of Hillary Clinton and the public comments? Wow, really stepping away from the press and completely throwing to the side, rejecting the foreign policy doctrine of Obama, especially the decision to, you know, with the backing the Syrian rebels and saying it was a complete abject failure. So she's doing some distancing. Is this more about politics than anything else because she's going to run?
Absolutely, it's about politics. Listen, she was his Secretary of State for, 4 years? She implemented the policy, and it wasn't as if she was some schoolgirl that had to listen to him. She's Hillary Clinton. If she didn't agree, she could have left after the first year. She sure did it. For someone who didn't agree with it, she did a very zealous job of implementing it. I remember when she got on the phone and lambasted Prime Minister Netanyahu because he allowed the building of some apartments in Jerusalem. My God, it's a Jewish city. There should be Jewish apartments. So she seemed to have her heart in putting the Obama policy into play. But, you know, now she's running, and she knows that he's very unpopular. So she's distancing herself from Obama. But, oh, just listen, Hillary Clinton is... She's the same. She's a left winger. Don't kid yourself. A left winger number one.
I like that. Rabbi, don't be a stranger. You're fun to have on the show. Rabbi Spiro, thanks so much for coming on ATN.
Hey, my pleasure. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk. For every political persuasion, we are GCN.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in 4 delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, 6 vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
It's the heart of summer across America. Thoughts turn to childhood and long days of fun. Everybody would love to feel like a kid again. An HB extract can be a vital tool in your battle to stay vibrant and young, as it supports healthy blood pressure and circulation while balancing cholesterol. GCN and longtime sponsor HB extract want to help keep your heart healthy with the 30 bottles, 30 days summer giveaway. Enter to win by visiting GCNlive.com between now and August 29th and click on the contest banner in the top left corner of the page. HB Extract has helped tens of thousands of people worldwide feel good again, and they've done it with HB Extract's exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. Here's to you enjoying many more long, warm, and fun-filled summers, free of pain and sickness. Visit GCNlive.com and enter to win in the 30 bottles, 30 days summer giveaway with HB Extract. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Sign up now at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Got to ask yourself this. You know, you think of the looting, the pillaging, the Molotov cocktails, the tear gas, the police earlier last week that really led to Democrats and Republicans saying, wow, is this a militarized zone or what? What's happening here? Which then the state highway patrol comes in, they take over. The chief happened to grow up in that area, so it was seemed to be the perfect way to handle this. That still didn't matter. So Michael Brown, the 18-year-old who was shot and killed last Saturday, now just a little over a week, nothing has gotten better. He was a robbery suspect before he was shot, but the police officer who shot him did not approach him as a robbery suspect, did not stop him as a robbery suspect. Here's what the governor of Missouri, Nixon, has to say about what's happening.
These acts, unfortunately, bring a great deal of emotion. Over the last few days, as the Department of Justice has ramped up this investigation and the local prosecutors working, this is an opportunity for them to step up and get justice. But these investigations need to be complete, thorough, and get justice. Policing is something where you're involved with the community if it's succeeding. And in those situations where folks are rolling up heavily armored and pointing guns at folks, that's impossible to have a dialogue. There are times when force is necessary, but we really felt that push at that time was a little aggressive, obviously, and those images were not what we were trying to get to. People are legitimately upset.
Yeah, so there is definite racial divide in this city. That's not stirring the pot. It is what it is now at this point. And there have always been problems in Ferguson. The people in Ferguson would tell you that. And now it's gotten, obviously, that much worse. Darren Wilson was the officer who shot and killed Michael Brown. And he was one of 53 in this small area. Once this happened and the really explosion now, the onset of the violence, now people are looking at Wilson and they're saying, what happened here? Why are these witnesses saying that he was unarmed? He had his hands in the arm, in the air rather, and he hadn't done anything. Then you have somebody else who was shot overnight this past weekend, and this is because of the violent protests. The police, well, really, it's not even the police. It's the State Highway Patrol that's there. They've had to use tear gas, too, and rubber bullets. And, you know, so what's happened that's different? I think it's gotten worse, and I think it's going to get worse probably this week because the protests are not going to let up. They're not going to let up. Ever since Michael Brown died, accounts of what happened when Darren Wilson stopped him vary. So some people are really going to bat for Michael Brown. Some people are really going to bat for the cop who shot him. And there is no in-between in this. And when I say going to bat for him, saying he was in the line of fire, this is what happened because they were trying to reach for his weapon. It was a scuffle. So what do you think he's going to do then? And most of the witnesses say they saw a kind of a scuffle, is the right word to describe it, between the cop and Brown at the police car before Michael Brown was shot. They say that he struggled and reached for the weapon. So how did that escalate? What happened there that led to that? And again, that officer is Darren Wilson, who had no priors for anything, no problems in the file, any of that kind of stuff. He was just one of the 53, like I said, and there was nothing that would make him stand out as having had problems before. But now these confrontation accounts vary widely. So there is massive tension in Ferguson. I mean, massive tension. And you just don't know what's going to happen. Some people are saying, listen, this case mirrors Trayvon Martin and what has happened in Ferguson is very similar. I think there's a couple of differences that are huge between what happened with Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown. And really, one of the biggest things is that you had a neighborhood watch guy, George Zimmerman, who was involved with the Trayvon Martin deal versus a police officer who is going, you know, is patrolling the area and sees him and someone else in the street, says, get out of the street, and then that's what happened. I don't think there's any disputing that. They're walking in the middle of the street. He says, get out of the middle of the street. Boom. Then the rest happens after that. But untangling this and what should happen to this officer? And ultimately, what is going to happen here as a result of these autopsies and investigations? You know, what should happen? What should be the final conclusion to this very, very sad story? Molotov cocktails, looting, tear gas, crowds marching to a police command post, shots fired at police. I mean, listen, shots are fired at the cops. They have to defend themselves now at this point. And that's what they're doing. So there doesn't seem to be a balance, and that's the tough thing. During the day, it's okay. At night, it's not. And what about the other people? What about these kids that are part of the protests? What about that? So the kids' parents think, wow, this is injustice, and I'm going to take my child out there, and they're going to be part of this. And then you have these tensions flaring. There is a lot of questions. There's questions that have been answered, but there's still a lot of questions that hang in the balance, really hang over Ferguson, Missouri. And there's a no in-between with the people that live there. There doesn't seem to be any in-between, like, cooler heads will prevail, let's wait and see what happens. Nope, got to have a curfew because it's just that bad. But six times, being shot six times. Now, as for the police officer, Darren Wilson, you know, they say he was, if anything, he was somebody who they say was an excellent police officer. He never had any kind of encounters like that. Never anything in his file about popping off or losing his temper or anything like that. In fact, he was a decorated officer, so there was nothing that stood out about him except for positive accolades from the people around him in the department and people in the community that knew him. So now it's more than that with him. And then there was debate over whether his name should have ever been released. I've said this before, but the demographics are this. Two-thirds of Ferguson's population is black. The police chief is white. Only three African Americans were on the are on the police force. Playing into this is just the demographics of the town. And there have been problems in the town. But this is something completely different. So he was days away from starting college, according to his family. He's killed in a struggle for the officer's gun. And no one is, of course, disputing in any way that he was unarmed. But it's the witnesses saying he was shot when he tried to get away, when he tried to distance himself, and he raised his hands into the air. So now, because of the shooting, protests, looting, rubber bullets, tear gas, people being arrested, and a lot of tension between the community and the police force. So you can't allow this to continue, but you can't allow this to become a military community either. It's crazy when you look at it. I'm not kidding you. When you see the video, there's no way you think, I mean, you look at it and you say, wow, I mean, this is not a sad, crazy night of rioting because somebody got ridiculous over some championship game. I mean, this is serious, serious stuff. Some people think the police may be getting away with murder, or do you think it's reverse? The crowds are getting away with unbelievable behavior. Which is it? Where should the justice fall, the scales of justice, in this case? I'm going to throw out the digits, of course, as always. You know that. You know how we roll here. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. Michael Brown's father says that there is no justice in this, that there is no justice for his son, that he's told the crowds to quell what they're doing and whatnot, but he's concerned about why, first, it took so long to release the officer's name, why they withheld it for so long, but also the details of what happened in the shooting. And why those details, the timelines and whatnot, seem to be contradicting each other. And how come Darren Wilson, how come his name wasn't immediately released? Stay with us. More to come here on this edition of America Tonight.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink?
We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. When the cleaners ruined some special clothing, all they could do was show us a sign that said they weren't responsible. But when they got the letter from one of our Legal Shield attorneys, he promptly gave us a check for $1,152. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
This hour of America Tonight, 855-266-5283. Sunday night, Molotov cocktails, tear gas, bullets, all kinds of crazy things happening in Ferguson, Missouri. There now is going to be a third autopsy, an independent autopsy by Dr. Michael Baden, the former New York City chief medical examiner, who also was involved in the O.J. Simpson case, flew to Missouri at the Browns family request to do the autopsy. Baden's autopsy showed 6 entry wounds, 4 in the right arm. One of the 2 shots to the head was on the top, indicating that he was lowered, and likely the last shot fired and the one that killed him. You could say it's provocative, so that just added to the tensions, because the fact that a shot went through perhaps the top of his head showed he was maybe kneeling, surrendering, because that's what eyewitnesses are saying, that he had his hands in the air and he was asking the officer not to shoot. So all of what is being assumed from what's being said from this autopsy has just added to more of the problems in Ferguson, since the people are already furious. And the one thing that this autopsy showed, it'll be interesting with the others, that they don't the shots don't appear to have been fired from close range because there was no gunpowder residue on the body, according to Baden. But he didn't have access to the clothing, which makes a difference because that could have the residue. Remember, the police department there says Brown attacked the officer and the first shot was fired from inside the patrol car. So if he was attacked and he fired it that way, that completely then makes sense from what's being said for sure. All right, let's take a few calls. Let's go out to Jack in Australia. Hello, Jack.
Okay. The media has been running rampant with this story, and they're not even trying to correct their errors. Do you remember the wonderful footage of the Al Jazeera film crew getting tear gassed and
yes.
then their equipment getting seized?
Yes.
Well, it turns out that it was one of the protesters that had thrown one of the tear gas canisters towards the film crew, and the police were relocating them to safer surrounds where they could continue to cover the riot.
Yeah.
So that was one lie that's been exposed. Al Jazeera has been very open about the tear gas and the police actions about this. I noticed that the race baiters like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson didn't receive quite as warm a welcome in Ferguson as they'd planned. I mean, Jesse Jackson turned up, gave a speech, riled the whole crowd up, and then had the audacity to ask for donations to pay for his time to turn up.
Yeah.
That went down with really well. Which sort of doesn't surprise me given how much Jesse Jackson has fallen from grace. You know, he needs to make money, I guess, any way he can, and he'll continue this get-rich-quick scheme like most of these black agitators do on preying on the emotions of those they claim to be helping. I in the course of my research over the weekend, made a phone call to the sheriff's department there just to clarify one piece of information, given that the protesters are saying that the police force there should better represent the demography of the area, given that there are only three non-white police officers there.
Right.
The Human Resources Department at Division of the Sheriff's Department there told me that 100% of African Americans who were qualified to be police officers that have applied for a job as a deputy sheriff there have been employed.
Ones that applied, yeah. So they weren't kicked out. I don't think there's any dispute over that. So the numbers still stick, though. But that is an interesting twist. If someone's trying to say that there weren't any black officers hired, no, because they were.
Well, that's it. If they think there should be a greater amount of
they
got to
apply. Yeah,
you gotta do it.
Apply? Yeah.
You know, probably the same reason is that they're not applying for the same reason they're not going to apply to the military. Given the background in the area, we've got large amounts of criminal history, drugs, prostitution, and so on, which would render probably 80 to 90% of the population ineligible to serve in the police force anyway. No wonder the riots are still going on.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, the demographics are there, and the statistics on the crime is terrible in Ferguson. You're absolutely right. And a lot of it is drugs and petty theft and robbery and all of that. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to work out how rioting and looting and vandalism is honoring a memory of someone who's turned out to be an outright little thug. Okay, he's an honor student. Whoop-de-doo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Adolf Hitler competed in spelling bees. And was
Good. But wait a second. I will say this one thing, Jack. Even if that's true, if and you know this, because listen, I have police officers in my family. But you still can't have a police officer just unload a weapon into them. That you can't have that. But we don't know that that happened because there's a lot of discrepancies as to what really went on and who were the witnesses and what are the witnesses saying. So even if he wasn't a good guy, I wash that argument out because I don't care if he was a good guy or not. I care if it was right what happened, because certainly if you and I were police officers, we still couldn't just do that, which you understand.
Oh, yeah, yes, I understand that, but I'm also looking at it from the point of view. Now, this little thug has just strong-armed and stuck up a convenience store. He is not going to know that the cop that he's just encountered hasn't
right.
had the radio call. So he is going to be confrontational.
Right.
He is going to want to be argumentative and try and get away.
Right.
This is the point that I'm getting to with all of this. He doesn't know that this cop hasn't. Didn't respond to a call to be on the lookout for someone dressed as it was. And it's definitely Michael Brown in the surveillance video at the convenience store.
Oh, yeah, no question about that. I agree.
Yeah,
you can see it, yeah.
So, and, you know, as for some of the alleged witnesses, I mean, some of the first ones came out and said that he was shot in the back. Well, the autopsy has already shown them to be outright liars to start with.
Right, because it was all in the front. He was hit, as I said. He was that's one thing that two autopsies showed, and now there's going to be this third one, this federal one, and that's at least they the two things definitely jive there. Yeah, and that would make a difference because what was happening there, you know, that's. Was he aggressive in fighting him? Your theory about, okay, he doesn't know because he knows he robbed the convenience store or he was part of that, so he doesn't know that the officer's not responding to that. So, sure, that makes sense.
And actually, the placement of many of the bullet wounds on Brown lead me to believe that they were actually wrestling over the firearm. Because if you're pulling on something, you don't tend to pull on it square on. If you're trying to pull something, you're from the side to get both legs and so into it, which would explain why most of the bullet injuries are only on one side. Now,
right.
if he is tripped and the officer has discharged the weapon, could explain the top shot and so on. Given that, you know, I don't believe for one second that this kid was, you know, just staying still on the ground as if he was surrendering. You know, if you're pulling something and you break free, your hands fly up into the air to try and break your fall, give you a center, fix up your center of balance and so on to try and stop you from injuring yourself in the process of the fall.
Yeah.
Now, if that's what the witnesses saw, you know, that they've only seen part of the equation. And given that this police officer just 6 months ago was decorated with, a Medal of Honor from the police force, that is not something that a rogue cop gets.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. He was in no way that kind of police officer. And if the portrait of him is being painted that way, I think that's inaccurate. What I really want to know is more of the details. And it's too bad they didn't have a dash cam, as I said last week, but they certainly don't. And as I mentioned, there is no in-between in this. Absolutely not. Thanks, Jack. You want to throw in your 2 cents? You can always send me an email at americatonight.net.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terraganix. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TERAGANIX.com. or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.